My name is Donna Moriarty. I'm a member of the Board of Trustees of this congregation, and I'm here to welcome all of you to this lovely Sunday, sunny Sunday morning, and to our service. We are a welcoming congregation, which means that we welcome everyone, regardless of age, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, religious background, or political affiliation, factors that can sometimes separate people in the larger culture. If this is your first time visiting us, please join us after the service for refreshments and conversation. Actually, if you've been here before, you can still have refreshments. Feel free to take any brochures on Unitarian Universalism. You'll find them on the wall near the outside door. And if you would, please sign our guest book out in the entry hall so we can get back in touch with you if we want to tell you about some things that are happening. People with name tags with blue dots on them, oops, those of us who are wearing their name tags today, are members of the congregation, but really anybody you see at the coffee table will be glad to talk to you about their experiences in the fellowship. And because our services vary quite a bit from week to week, we encourage you to come back a few more times to get a flavor of our services in our community, especially during the next few months when we're having a variety of lay leaders and guest ministers in our pulpit while we explore options for our ministry. Now is the time to turn off all cell phones and pagers and things that make noise and go bump in the night. Parents of small children are reminded that we have child care and religious education classes. So if you choose to keep your children with you in the worship room, please respect our need for this time of quiet and peaceful reflection. And we have a couple of announcements from various members of the congregation, so I'm going to turn it over to them.
Good morning. My name is Debbie Lane, and I'm here to tell you why I'm going to Frost Valley. First of all, everybody is invited to Frost Valley, even if today's your very first day. There is information on the greeters table about it, so pick it up if you haven't done so. And Frost Valley is about an hour and a half north of here, and it's on a bazillion acres of woods and lakes and ponds and waterfalls. And for me, I've been to Frost Valley several times. What I remember mostly are the moments. And I remember the walk that Lorraine and I took up there several years ago. I remember every word that was said. I remember the canoe ride that I took with Eric and how he taught me to paint stones. I remember listening to Jerry and Greg as they were talking about some, they have, were having some philosophical discussion in a loft, and I was sitting down beneath them. The first year that I went there, and maybe that we went there, it was my job to build a fire. I built a big fire outside. I think it was before they had this gorgeous chapel built, and we had a service outside. Remember, right? I see a few shaking heads. I remember the Sufi blessing that we did outside the Sunday morning before everybody left. And I remember seeing tears roll down people's faces. Frost Valley is a magical place. It's a great way to bring your level of intimacy to the next level. I remember, I think it was Molly said to me once, a couple of years ago, I was telling her, oh, have you met so-and-so? Somebody new, and she said to me, have you seen them outside Sunday morning yet? And when you do that, whether it's whether you join a committee or go to a service auction offering or go on a hike or a discussion group or one of these programs, it brings us closer together. It brings us all to that second level of intimacy, and it makes it very rich. So at this point, we've been talking about Frost Valley for several weeks. Joyce, are you here? There's Joyce. She needs the checks made out to UUFNW to go to Frost Valley. I don't know when the deadline for the check is, but I think it's imminent. So a lot of people go, and you'll hear the stories if you don't go when you come back, and you'll say, darn, I wish I went.
Good morning. I'm Patricia Compton. I'm a member of this fellowship and a member of the Board of Trustees. A little over a year ago, I had the pleasure of attending a Broadway production of Rent with the youth group, several members of the youth group, and the Halberg-Hardeman family. The story of Rent has two main themes. The first, which you will be asked to consider today, which is no day but today, and how that kind of focus can enhance our lives. The second theme in Rent is the power, the love, and support generated by a community. In Rent, there is a community of people who together take actions in support of each other and succeed where no one individual can. This community provides support through difficult times, love and understanding when it seemed there was none to be found, and camaraderie in the celebration of triumphs, both shared and personal. We have such a community here. We need now to take a moment or two to be mindful of this, our community, not just what it means to us in our own individual lives, but what it means to the others who share in this space and what it can mean to those who have yet to walk through our doors. We have no doubt heard how this community has provided love and support to individuals and families. We have experienced a community where issues and disagreements on those issues can be shared and explored, especially in the past few years. This community can provide friendship, connection, personal growth, and spiritual exploration through the many groups and activities that happen here throughout the week. This place has definitely been a place of solace during times of fear and uncertainty. And so again, I say, we need to be mindful of how this community serves not only ourselves, but those around us. To do these things, we need a place to gather. And as I've said before, we need the lights, we need the heat, the snow removed, the staff to support our community. Yes, people, our annual canvas has begun. Under the enthusiastic leadership of Peggy Clark, we're being asked to consider the value this community has in our lives, in the lives of the others here, and the value we would like it to have in the larger community of Northern Westchester. And then we need to make a financial commitment as best we can to reflect that value. Our goal this year is to raise $105,000. We are asking members and friends to increase their pledge by at least 5% from last year. And those who may have not made a pledge last year, or those who found the need to reduce their pledge, we hope you will restore that pledge so that we can reach this financial goal and move forward with a positive future. The board has already been canvassed, and I am happy to report that a majority of the board has been able to increase their pledge by 5%. Today you will see a pledge table in the back of the room, and it will be there for each of the next 4 Sundays. You may speak to someone at that table. It may be Peggy today. It may be someone else. You may sign your pledge card, which would be very exciting. And if not, you will receive a call from a member of the fellowship to discuss how canvassing works and your financial commitment. But I haven't told you the best part. And that is that there will be a fellowship-wide pledge party at the home of Peggy and Graham Clark in Somers on March 19th at 7:30 p.m. Believe me, it will be the place to be. They have a lovely home, and it's a lovely place to gather, and I'm very excited about it. It's a great opportunity to just be together and to celebrate for ourselves. There'll be more information in the mail and in the newsletter, so please look for that. Today's theme of the service is No Day But Today for ourselves. I would ask that as a congregation we consider that there is no year but this year. Let us sustain this community for ourselves and the world who needs us. Amen.
Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, Pat. Okay, I just have one other brief administrative detail, then we are going to move on to the service, I promise. There was a feedback form that you may have seen outside or been inserted in your order of service. Basically, if you can fill that out, Henderson will be in the back after the service to collect those, and you can either drop them off now, fill them out now, or drop them off at some point sometime later. Basically, we on the worship committee are trying to get a sense of how these services have been going and what your feelings are about them, what's working and what's not. And clearly, by the amount of people here today, obviously you're feeling that some of this is working, so that's great to see. That feedback form will also be on our website, hopefully within the week, as I understand. Yes, he's Rick Zunny. Okay. Within the week, so you can also just do it via the web if you didn't get one of these, and we'll send out an announcement, et cetera. And it's in the newsletter. I'll tell you, if you've missed it, then I don't know what to say. Okay. I really want to say that it's my privilege to be up here today with Marion and Michael and Katie and Bridget because it truly does. I think this is a wonderful opportunity that we can have a family come up and do a service. And a family that is they're wonderful people and loving people and a loving family. And don't say anything to the contrary to this. And it's a joy to have them here at the fellowship, and it's an honor for me to be up here today with them and to help them put this service together. So to get this going, Marion is going to come up and give some opening words.
Thank you. This morning's opening words come from the ancient Indian poet and dramatist Kalidasa. Look to this day, for it is the life, the very life of life. In its brief course lie all the verities and realities of your existence, the bliss of growth, the glory of action, the splendor of beauty. For yesterday is but a dream, and tomorrow is only a vision. But today, well lived, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day. Catherine Hardiman will now come to light our chalice and lead us in the unison affirmation.
light of his flame,
illuminate our lives and the strivings of the Spirit. May it heal misunderstanding and strengthen love.
Love
is the doctrine of this fellowship. Quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer.
To dwell
together in peace,
to see
truth in love, to serve humanity in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow into harmony. Thus do we come with one another.
Today we ask that the fellowship greeting be simply a silent gesture of peace to those immediately around you. We will follow that with hymn number 123, Spirit of Life. Please remain standing in place as you are able and silently acknowledge your immediate neighbors in peace.
As we said before, this is we do have childcare available and Sunday school classes, so this is the time to sing the children out. Now is a time when, a very special time in this congregation, when people are invited to come up and light a candle, and if they wish, they can say what's on their mind, whatever they're feeling in terms of any joy or sorrow or concern, or as we said last week, whether it's a prayer or a hope, whether there's any difference between those two. But anyone who wishes to come up is welcome to do so now.
This is a candle of joy. Tomorrow is Amanda Jacoby's birthday.
Hi, my name is Debbie Lane.
I'm lighting this candle for all the atheists. And I really do love you.
Eric and I are lighting a candle of joy for Jerry's 40th birthday, because Bridget gave us the idea last week.
I'm lighting a candle of joy and greeting from the Bruce Beattie, Michelle Patrick family. They have three children, and they used to come to this fellowship, but just after Thanksgiving, they moved up to Beacon, New York, and we had a little email conversation about some local stuff in Mount Kisco, which they no longer can participate in, and they shared that news with me and said to say hi to all their friends and fellow members of the congregation. So hi from them.
I have a candle of joy for my little brother, who was born 2 years from yesterday. This is a candle of, I guess you would call it, concern and hope for my daughter, Katie. Some of you may remember I told the congregation 2 weeks ago that we were going to have her placed in a residential facility, and she's. It happened all really fast. I can't get this to turn off. She's in a place in Pennsylvania called Kids Peace, and it's got a very good reputation. It seems like a very nurturing place, and I'm hoping that she'll have a chance to heal from her depression and her substance abuse in this beautiful, peaceful place.
Hi, I'm Susan Hull, and this is a double joy. One for yesterday and one for tomorrow. Yesterday, thanks to everyone who participated in the coffee house last night. That was really great. Katie Alberti and Steph and Graham and Peggy made a cake with edible flowers. And it was really, really fun. And the one for tomorrow, as you may have heard, I've been out of work for 7 weeks. And I start a new job tomorrow as an editorial assistant with a small publishing firm in Ossining. It looks good.
How do I get it to light? I can just light from there. Hi, I'm Catherine Kramer, and I guess this one is of joy. I haven't been here in about 10 years, and last weekend, I was at a convention that shared a hotel with a conference of Unitarian ministers. And, you know, I realized I missed it, so I decided to come back today.
Hand it off to you. Okay. We all figure out ways of doing things. I wanted to light this for the Hallberg-Hardeman family. For just many things, not only today's service, but, I mean, they have really... Here you go, Michael. See, they do everything. They've done RE, they've done Mystery Friends, they've done lots and lots and lots of things, and I'm just, like, so glad you guys are back with us and with a vengeance, so I'm looking forward to the rest of the service.
I'm Earl Kitchen. I lit a candle last week for our friend Barbara, and I think I told her they were going to go visit her. Well, found out that she had left for a hospital, And then at the hospital, then they said she'd already been sent to Mount Sinai. She had an operation on her hip, a crack of some kind. I don't know the detail of that, but I finally called Mount Sinai Hospital and left a message. She did not call back, and the next day I called, they said she'd been released. Well, they put a stent in her heart. And for those of you who know about hearts, that's apparently a real challenge. In the absence of a minister, quote-unquote, her number is 666-5451. I'm sure she'd be delighted to hear from you.
My name's Shannon Carroll, and my girlfriend's going to start a cross-country bike trip in a few weeks, and this is a candle to keep her safe.
Thank you. No, Bridget stole my real one. I will light a virtual candle because there are none left. Because my eldest brother came back last night. My dad was like, "Oh, I'm just gonna go out for a second." And so, 45 minutes later, me and my mom were wondering where he is. And Zach comes clapping in the room, crazy as he is. And we played a 2-hour game of Mario Party, and I actually beat him for once. So this is a virtual candle of joy that he's back for a day for my birthday.
I'm Kathy Gallagher, and I'm going to light a virtual candle, since there are none left, for our fellowship in our time of transition, which I still feel we need every Sunday to have one up here for us. And I will also light a candle, because I'm here with people I love very much, my dear friend Anne, and my daughter Shannon Carroll, and her wonderful girlfriend Anna. And Anna's about to start her cross-country trips on bike, so I light this candle for her. And Shannon is about to start a really cool job on the Clearwater as the bosun, and she'll be doing educational trips on the Clearwater, the tall ship, the Clearwater, up and down the Hudson. So she's also about to start something wonderful and new.
I guess I'll light the last virtual candle from here. For all the joys and sorrows that were not spoken, or as Kent once said, if there are any. And also I wanted to light a virtual candle for all those that believe in all that stuff I don't believe in, and I'm glad that we're all here together, believing in it and not believing in it together. Okay, I'd like to invite the choir to come up. I just also want to make a correction. In your program, there are the words to this, but this time, just the choir is going to do it. We get to all sing it the next time. If you have to, hum silently.
Minutes, how do you measure?
Bridget will now read an excerpt from the song Another Day from Jonathan Larson's musical Rent. When she has finished, we will enter into a few moments of silent meditation to ponder those words.
Thank you. The heart may freeze, or it can burn. The pain will ease if I can learn. There is no future. There is no past. I live this moment as my last. There's only us. There's only this. Forget regret, or life is yours to miss. No other road, no other way, no day but today. There's only now. There's only here. Give in to love, or live in fear. No other path, no other way. No day but today. No day but today. No day but today.
Now, for the life and work of this fellowship, the offering will be collected.
Live in my house, I'll be your shelter. Just pay me back with 1,000 kisses. Be my lover, and I'll cover you. Yeah. Open your door, I'll be your tenant. Don't got much baggage to lay at your feet, but sweet kisses I've got to spare. I'll be there and I'll cover you. Oh, I think they meant it when they said you can't buy love. Now I know you can rent it. A new lease, you were my love. On life.
With a thousand sweet kisses.
You've got
The night my father died, I stood at his hospital bedside with my mother and told her to take off his watch. He won't need it tonight, I told her, thinking more that the alarm or weight of the watch would disturb my father or prove tempting to a night shift worker. I didn't realize how prophetic that comment would be. A few hours later, he slipped away, leaving behind the mark of a life well lived, each moment filled to capacity. He always wore a watch, even when sleeping, which he didn't do often. He was the master of the power nap and could fall asleep almost anywhere and awaken refreshed and fully able to tackle the next event. He would read, listen to the radio, or conduct scientific experiments in the middle of the night. He never seemed lonely or bored. He could find entertainment and beauty in the greatest opera or in conversation with a stranger at a local bohemian tavern. He had countless hobbies and interests that occupied him until just days before he died, which was only months shy of his 87th birthday. He was always on time and always planning or anticipating the next event. Of course, you won't be surprised when I tell you that my father wasn't perfect. In his quest to fill every minute, he often overlooked the people around him. He was a workaholic who spent long hours at his medical practice and traveled often for business to conferences he'd either organized or where he'd be the recipient of accolades, medals, and awards for his many achievements. These things did give him pleasure, but they also contributed to missed concerts, performances, and promises he couldn't keep to his children. But he always had the watch. He could tell you what time it was on any continent. He had talking clocks and a variety of alarms. He was always busy. My father did amazing things. He was a great man, and he left his mark on the world. His was a life well lived. But was there a cost to that? Although brilliant, to a child and many others, he was infuriating and distant, seemingly concerned more with successes and product over process. Today I'm telling you that as a girl, I was greeted most mornings with, "Have you read the New York Times yet today?" Even as a lethargic teenager who had to set two alarms at opposite sides of the room so I could get to school on time, my father had high expectations for me to fill my day. "Don't sleep your life away," was the message. "What are you going to do today that is an achievement?" Little wonder that now I'm the anxious woman who is also planning every minute, anticipating what's to come next, and spreading this time affliction to all those around me. I get up increasingly early each day, get to work early, and by the time I've arrived, my head is already racing with who I'll be picking up that afternoon and what I'll be preparing for dinner that evening. As I drive home, I'm thinking through what I'll be teaching the next morning and what I need for that. But there still aren't enough minutes in the day. I need more time. If I hurry up, maybe I'll have a chance to enjoy things a little more. Yes, I'm well organized and efficient, but my goal of getting lunches made, dishes washed, homework done, sometimes interferes, yes, I'll confess, with enjoying the little moments that life has to offer. When we get to the mall or supermarket, I want to put blinders on my children and get to the checkout as quickly as possible. They, on the other hand, are wide-eyed with wonder and would love to spend hours in front of a dressing room mirror imagining all the poses in which the ill-fitting jeans would look good. I do see the fun, but I gotta get out of here. I resort to shouting and threats, and everyone ends up miserable. There are so many moments like that. I do know better, but I want the homework done right away. My children have to tell me that they need a break. They can't just do it immediately after a long day of school. "But if you get it done, then you can enjoy the evening," I argue. But it's that wasted breath I should have saved. They're right.
I worry about the time and how quickly it's fleeing from the day. If I began to list all the wonderful things they could fill their days with instead of homework or housework or chores, you would see that they have rich, fulfilling lives. They're saying, let's enjoy the time. Why shouldn't they relax, listen to music, laugh, do nothing? I know in my heart they're right, but it's hard to let it happen. I love to hear them play, sing, crack up at their own silly stories. I love the sound of their voices. Too often I silence them with a stern, get to work, you're wasting time. It's a tough position to be in. My heart knows what it wants, but I have to keep things in some order, don't I? I'm always hurrying to get things done, but they never seem to be finished. And where does the time to enjoy life go? I admit that what I often love about coming here to the fellowship is the respite I get during the service. I sit here and listen, but still, I can get caught up in my own head. Did I remember to start the dryer before I left the house? Before I know it, I'm thinking about groceries, carpools, assignment deadlines, report card grades, checking work email, home email, whatever. I fight it, but it creeps in. Sometimes for me, the most wonderful things have been what we have tried to create here today. Music from our amazing choir and other sources can help me lose some agitation. A meditation can be a simple escape from the other stressors of my days. Thoughtful words and readings can provide perspective. Apologies for today's are extended to you. I need those things. Sometimes it is coming here that helps me to slow down or maybe just be. Enjoy the moment. I can't do anything else while I'm sitting here, and if the music, the mood, the words are right, they can make all the difference. But I admit I have to work at it. I have to take the time to make it happen. The backdrop for today's service is Jonathan Larson's musical Rent. It's not how the lives were lived in that story that's important. Indeed, many of them were overly egotistical, unworked out, ravaged by drugs, and the disease it brought. No, the message from Rent that I am reminding myself of today is the one about how no matter what's happened before, no matter in how frenzied a way I've lived my life up to this moment, there's still an opportunity to live it fully. Making a great mark on humanity, or in the case of the play on pop culture, but rather in the relationships with the people around me, in the moments of love. Maybe what I can learn from the good I have around me, the love, the music, the words, the nature, the heaven beneath my feet, is that I don't have to create it or invent it. It's here. I just have to stop and let it happen. I don't have to strive to do some great thing, but rather listen to and embrace a greatness that is around me. And it's simple greatness. It's the beautiful song, the poem, the hard work of a student, the night out with friends, the cluttered household with laughing children, all happy to be home together. It's the two girls who look at me in amazement when I tell them at the shopping mall, go ahead, try on whatever you want. Sometimes time is funny, too. In the time that has passed since my father died, his memory has taken hold in a much more loving and benevolent way than it had actually existed during his life. In the months before he died, I had taken to calling my father every day. Ever efficient, I called as I drove home from work, fitting in a more relaxed conversation, ironically, while I was removed from everything except heavy traffic. At the end of one conversation, he said, taking me off guard, I love it when you call me. I love the sound of your voice. It was a simple cell phone connection, but it was loud and clear. My father knew then what had perhaps eluded him before. You have to pay attention to the people around you. You won't have them forever. When I think of that, I realize that not only did he fill all those minutes in his life, but maybe he also knew, at least in the end, how to enjoy them.
He certainly taught me that most important of lessons. I'm still trying to learn it. I take it in steps, struggling with process over product. Maybe it's not how well lived my life is, it's how well I'm living it. There is no day but that which we have been given, and that day, that gift, is today.
Okay, we come to the congregational sharing portion of our program. I just want to say that I was very moved by that. It was really a very beautiful talk, and I hope you feel the sense of accomplishment that you should, having given that. But anyway.
Thank you, as I wipe away my tears. I wanted to tell you something that was kind of coincidental. Last weekend, I had a couple of friends that I've known for 30 years come to visit, and they brought their son, who's a junior in high school, and they raised their children Catholic. And I'm so happy to see Austin. He's a 6-foot-tall junior. He's beautiful. So the mother told me that when it came time for Austin to make his confirmation, he told his parents he'd rather not. He didn't think he could do it. But he's got two neighbors that are Unitarian. So I offered to send him Our Chosen Faith, which he's looking forward to reading. And then on Sunday afternoon, you know where we went? We went to see Rent. And we had a great time. So now I think I can send him a copy of The Service, addressing both his love for the theater and his interest in UU-ism. Thank you.
Thank you, Marion. Gosh, so many inspiring things. But the thing that hits me the most is that someone like you, who I think is about the most together person I've ever met, is still struggling with those inner demons and trying to learn life lessons, so that sometimes that's hope for the rest of us who are still doing the same thing.
It's funny how things all seem to tie together when you start looking around. Maybe it's that there's a lot of good messages out there. A bunch of us are very lucky to have Graham Clark teaching the Artist's Way class. And one of the things that it's forcing us to do is to take a 2-hour artist date, which is totally frivolous and can't be for a purpose, so that you can just kind of open yourself up to the universe and find out what's out there and what's in there. And it sounds like what you've been saying is that that's a little piece of life that maybe you haven't had the chance to play with yet. Thank you very much. It really was moving.
Thanks. You know, I have a tendency to measure parents by what I see in their kids. It's not always fair, but in your case, I think it is. I see two really beautiful, intelligent, articulate kids, and I think that it's because you two guys are such incredible parents. And I know you often roll your eyes when I talk about how wonderful your kids are. But I also relate strongly to being complimented for my kids and rolling my own eyes. And I just want to share one thing that I think has been one of the greatest spiritual life achievements that I've had in terms of being an at-home parent and being the one of the two primary caretakers, is that I've learned that in the work that I do, there is the joy, there is the moment of relaxation. In the dishes, I just don't stress anymore. I take pride now in a job well done, which makes doing it much easier. And I find that that's just, I've been able to infiltrate the two somewhat. So it's been helpful.
just wait till you retire. And the children are all grown and gone away. What are you going to do then?
I'm also in the program, The Artist's Way, which is wonderful. And I, among others, have a very difficult time taking that two-hour-a-week artist date where you it's purposeless. But I found just this morning, we have two birds spending the weekend with us, two cockatiels. And so because they need to be out or love to be out, and I have to sit with them. They were sitting on my shoulders and whatnot, and you know they're not used to the house, and so I had to kind of sit there and do something, just anything, look out the window, read a book, have tea, and although you're not supposed to do it with anyone, Graham, I don't know. See, we don't know exactly what we can do. Anyway, these birds. But also with the guide dog puppies, when we socialize the little puppies who are 8 and 9 weeks old, our job is to be with them and bond with them. So they go to 3 different houses before they're selected to be a potential guide dog, where they go for a year, so that they have to have bonding experiences, good ones, with human beings. And so you have to sit with them. And they want you to kind of go into a Zen state, if you can. Can you imagine? Qualifications for a guide dog socializer. But anyway, because of this, I realized how much animals can actually help you to do in maybe even little bits and pieces, the things that we cannot do very easily, you know, because of our busy, busy, Ellen DeGeneres calls it busyness disorder. And I identify with that and with everything you're saying. And so I'm working on that too. We're lucky we've got Graham's course. This is hope here.
Well, having my children grown up, I've sort of become the queen of purposelessness. And in a good way, not in a bad way, but in a way that when I go to the supermarket, I can spend like 2 hours just sort of looking at all the neat stuff and thinking about what I might try to cook. And I take my lunch at the dining room table, and out across is the porch, and I have a bird feeder hung. And I always take a book there to sit and read during my lunch. And every day lately, I never open the book. I'm just sitting there, and an hour goes by, and I've watched the birds fly back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And it really is such a wonderful way to spend my lunchtime. So I think that those of you who are still in the child-raising years, that, I remember that too, the running around and the meetings and the this and the that and making sure that this is done and that is done. But a transformation happens when you don't have those responsibilities.
Thank you all for sharing your thoughts. Now we're going to have the choir come up, and this is our chance to belt it out with them. And Marshall, are you going to sort of tell us how to do this?
Yeah.
Okay.
So in the order of service, you have the words. We'll all just sing it together. We'll go through it twice. And that will be that. So please stand up as you are able.
Tell me a second time around.
The second time around, when you get to the place where there's words in parentheses, sing those words instead. That's the second verse.
Closing words are from E.E. Cummings, who was a Unitarian and whose father was a Unitarian minister, in fact. In time of daffodils, who know the goal of living is to grow, forgetting why, remember how. In time of lilacs, who proclaim the aim of waking is to dream, remember so. Forgetting seem. In time of roses, who amaze our now and here with paradise, forgetting if, remember yes. In time of all sweet things beyond whatever mind may comprehend, remember seek, forgetting find. And in a mystery to be, when time from time shall set us free, forgetting me, remember me. And now Katie will extinguish our chalice.
Carry the flame, peace and love, until we meet again.
Go.